CliffCentral.com. The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hello.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
Leadership, SMB, small, medium business leadership conversation. Great to be with you. Such an important part of our society, and it's really great to have you with us. Richard Angus, welcome again.
Morning, how are you doing?
And our special guest today is Taryn Sido. She's going to help us with our very challenging theme, 10 ways to keep your head together whilst managing. So, welcome, Taryn.
Hi, thank you.
It's really good to have you with us. Before we look at that all-important theme, and Richard and I agreed that it would take an hour to discuss
or more,
that.
Or more.
But we're going to try and squeeze it into the time we have on this show. Before we do that, we have our passionate Catherine Constantinides on the line. She will share with us an inspirational thought. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you with us as always. Did you enjoy Mandela Day? What did you do?
Mandela Day was absolutely fantastic. I spent the day in Soweto at Lulama Primary School. And this is a school that we have been working at with the Miss Earth South Africa program for a few months now. And for the last few weeks, every week we've spent time there trying to do small things to uplift the school. So we did deep cleansing of the sanitation blocks at the school. We've put in a food garden. We painted classrooms. We put together a sick room for the children and assisted in looking, you know, doing a sort of cleaning of the mildew that has grown in the classrooms. Mm. And we had to get special acid to get that out. And we put in new roofs, new glass. PG Glass came in and redid all of the windows at the school as well. And then we fed 1,000 people in that Klipspruit community in Soweto in the afternoon. It was really a fulfilling day. It was an exciting day. And we've got to remember that we can't just remember and live the legacy of Madiba on one day. It's got to be something that we reflect on every single day in our individual lives.
Yeah, maybe in some societies you don't necessarily have to adopt that attitude. I think we should. But in South Africa, the need is so huge. You cannot be a complete leader without having that sort of attitude. All right, your inspirational thought for our SMB, small, medium business owners.
My thought for today is, may your choices reflect your hope and not your fears. We sometimes forget that, you know, we base things on the challenges that we're faced with instead of looking at what the solutions are and where we want to go. We mustn't lose hope. We mustn't lose sight of the vision that we've set for ourselves. And we need to try to stick to that and make choices based on those hopes, those dreams, and the vision that we see in front of us. And step by step, we will manage to get through the challenges.
Excellent. There's a great quote. I also saw, I mean, you tweeted that principle yesterday or today or somewhere. It's a quote, I think, by Nelson Mandela. I think Nick Christelis, he was also in the studio here with us once. He also tweeted, he said, pain is real, but so is hope. So I think it goes very much with what you shared with us.
And it's really quite deep, and it's something we need to remember because we can sort of get swallowed by the challenges and the fear that we face. But hope is very much alive, and it's what we do with that hope inside of us that will move us forward.
I imagine being hopeless. I don't know if I've ever been, but it must be very hard. Thank you for that inspirational thought. We appreciate it, Catherine.
Thank you so much.
All right. Richard Angus, Louis Groenewald, and then we have Taryn Sido in the studio. That all-important question. What are at least 10 ways to keep your head together whilst managing? And to help us understand that, all of us here can contribute, but Taryn Sido, Taryn, you've been involved with leaders, management teams, in corporate, you've been in corporate, so there's a pedigree there. So we know that when you sit here, we know that you're qualified to engage us on the topic. What your business is? Optimal Coaching.
Optimal Coaching, yes.
All right. So folks, let's have a nice conversation here. Firstly, all right. Is this a valid topic? What I mean by that is it really difficult in today's world to keep your wits about you while you manage? So why would we discuss this topic? I mean, why are we looking for 10 ways? What would you say about that briefly, Richard, and then Taryn?
Well, Adrian, I think the thing for me is, you know, we often get dragged into the, let's call it the operational execution of our lives.
Yeah.
And we're just so busy running that we often don't take time to sharpen the saw, as we say in the classics. But I think often, you know, and to Catherine's earlier comment, you know, hope in a business is a critical part of who you are as a leader and as a manager. And I think, you know, we often get so dragged into managing that we don't lift our head and say, well, I'm actually the leader here. I'm accountable for what happens with this group of people. I'm accountable for how things play out. And we're just so busy worrying about the next phone call or the phone call that's just come in, and you know that feeling of hopelessness that you were asking about. I think perhaps we don't term it hopelessness, but we definitely feel the frustration, and I see the frustration of small business managers and leaders, where they just there's a lot of frustration around things that don't work the way they should. You know, we talked about this last week, guys, but we're still getting it wrong this week. Well, you know, did you get it all together? So,
okay. Yeah,
maybe if I can start it. I mean, on the top of my list of
but before 10, we go to the list, I just want to hear from Taryn. What makes it difficult, Taryn? Why is it important for us to look at 10 ways at least?
Well, I think the challenge for most people that are in leadership roles is they didn't choose to be a leader. They chose to get into business or to do something for completely other reason. So they're technical specialists, or they're passionate about the business they're in. And then all of a sudden, they suddenly have to lead this group of people to do it. And that's not what called them to it in the first place. They would much rather be doing what they were passionate about in the first place.
You started your little business to make money, or
exactly,
for a different quality way of life maybe, or to get out of corporate, or whatever the reason is, and suddenly, before you blink your eyes, it's not just about selling that product, it's about having a team.
Yeah, and they're probably more passionate about their product themselves, and they become controlling of it, because it's their baby, and their whole livelihood, their whole sense of purpose, their whole sense of self's involved in it, and then they have to suddenly get other people to trust them, to support them, to work with them, to empower them. And nobody trains us to do this. We assume we know how.
All right. So in this crazy world of trying to succeed with your small business, to take it to medium size if needs be, to survive, to more than survive, what are the 10 ways to keep your head together? Richard, you want to kick off, and then Taryn, let's make this list.
Well, I mean, I've done some work with Taryn historically, so I know where some of her thinking is, and we share a common thought process here sometimes in terms of, for me, the number one thing on my list is just having a purpose. Because I think often, you know, people know what they're about and how they're doing things, but they don't know why. Mm. So why are you doing what you're doing, and instilling that in others? Because I think often as a manager, or as you manage activities and things that have to happen, if people understood why, a lot of the noise would leave the system. You know, why do I have to answer the phone properly? Well, the person on the other side is your customer or a potential customer or a supplier or somebody of importance to your business. They're calling you. For goodness sake, please answer the phone properly. Suddenly it's like, oh, okay, so that's why I'm doing this, rather than the because I say so.
Yeah.
Because I say so just doesn't cut it.
So the first thing that's going to help you cope as you manage your business is a strong sense of purpose. And we've had this conversation a lot. You agree with that, Taryn, Louis?
Definitely a sense of purpose, is useful. But it has to be beyond something that's MBA speak. It has to be meaningful.
Real.
It has to be real. It has to get them to feel something. I always, using Richard's example, you shouldn't have to tell people how to answer the phone. Because if it was their business, they would be anyway. They'd care. But they can only care about something that's meaningful and important. So how do you get them to see the vision in a way that's meaningful and important to them, so that they care enough to do what they naturally would do anyway? You don't need to teach people those things.
Yeah, if your sense of purpose isn't tuned, then it's a different ballgame.
Exactly.
Richard's second point of this value alignment with team is basically saying that you extend your own passion. And then, but make sure that there's a value alignment includes the emotional alignment. Or else it won't function.
Okay, before we get there, so what else is on my list of 10 things to help me as I manage, keep my head together? What else would you put, Taryn?
So one of the things that's for me that I bring up with all leaders that I work with is own the part you're playing in the way the thing is working. So if it's not working as the way you want it to be, what part are you playing in that? So a culture, an environment, a system, a place where you work is made up of all the parts, and the leader has a critical part, and they contribute tremendously to how the whole part is coming together. And they often sit back and become victims of it and say, it's because I have bad people, or it's because I have bad systems, or because I don't have enough money, or because of this. And they have to step out and look at what's the part you're playing that's keeping the status quo in place. If you're not prepared to look at that, you can never change anything. So there's often this victim mindset that creeps in with leaders, as opposed to owning and taking accountability for your own journey in it and how you're going to shift that. And because people will respond to how you respond to it. And so there's always this dynamic in this relationship.
Ownership to that degree, but own your part, good and bad, I guess.
Always.
Richard? Yeah. So that's number two, let's say.
I guess for me, the other element is the whole principle of trust. And, you know, there's that old saying, what you do screams so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. And I think as a manager and as a leader in a business, you have this dichotomy of you want certain things to play out and certain things to happen, and you've got to trust people and that they're going to do what they should do the best way they can. And often I think we as leaders and as managers in businesses, we say we trust, but we don't act like we trust.
Yeah. People's experience is not that.
Yeah. So we, our lips move, but our actions are in a far distant place. And I think that for me is an important part. If you want to keep it together, you have to learn to trust. You have to have, you know, the execution behind trust so that, you know, people will look at the actuals, you know, do you do what you say you're going to do? Then I'll trust you. It's all about action. Okay.
I mean, the trust is a big one. We could have a show just on trust.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, it is. I trust myself. I started the business. I know it inside out. I trust my passion, my sense of purpose. I trust I own my part. I trust me. Now I have to start trusting others. And there's two levels of trust, Rich.
Just on that, though, sometimes in a leadership or a management engagement, trust, you know, we say we trust ourselves, but sometimes we start to distrust what we're up to. So we make a call, for example, on people we employ. Something doesn't work the way we intended, and we say, oh, you know, that was a bad recruitment.
Bad call now.
Bad call. Suddenly we start losing trust in ourselves. So it's not only trust with the external, it's also trusting yourself and knowing when that trust is
your own gut and
your own gut and your judgment, etc. So trust is a multifaceted element there.
Okay, your comment on that, Taryn? Trust before we move on.
Yeah, it's such a big topic. Like you said, we could spend hours on it. But the most important thing is the concept of trusting you will be able to handle with whatever comes your way. Not trying to create it so that you have it under control, because you're never going to have it under control. And this dichotomy and this paradox is we think we can trust when we've put all the boxes together and we've put all the right people. But learning to trust yourself is fundamentally about trusting you can deal with whatever comes your way. So if there is a poor call, you can deal with that.
Louis,
finish? Yeah, no, that's cool.
Louis, you would say different. Trust what?
Well, what I'm saying here from a leadership point of view, the word ownership and trust, it's not a directive, it's a process. So good leadership is about what process am I personally and the organization in place to build, because you can't direct somebody or order to be trustful or to ownership. So I'm saying it's a process. So it's part of the culture of the organization to take ownership and to trust.
You trust your ability to process difficult situations or anything out there. I want to mention two words in trust. There's a professional trust. I trust that you're a good accountant. And then there's vulnerability trust, as they say, where we get so deep with it that I'm willing to be vulnerable in front of you. I'm willing to admit that I don't know what to do here. I'm willing to admit I made a mistake. I'm willing to admit that I need help. You know, that's the kind of level you need to. If you get to that level, you will go to war.
Yeah.
In difficult times, you'll not lose your people. They won't leave you just because it's difficult times. So trust is a very high one. Just, you know, we're talking about 10 ways to keep your head together as you struggle to build your business And in this crazy world we find ourselves in, first one, having a strong sense of purpose. Second one, own your part, good and bad. Third one, trust. Next one.
Well, for me, I think communication, and I think, just to comment, none of these are in any particular order, yeah. We'll say. But for me, communication, and maybe we want to say the word transparency, I sometimes think they're very, very interlinked. I kind of see them as two separate elements, but you could put them together. Communication and transparency for me are two critical things in a business. If there's no clear engagement from you to others and others to you, this is going to go wrong and badly so. You know, if you want to keep your head on intact, make sure you know what's going on, make sure your people know what's going on, and make sure that there's an open dialogue between all the parties. And I think often the hierarchy of businesses tends to break down communication sometimes, and people, particularly when they're into an SME and smaller business environment and they've come from other environments, they try and overlay their mental model of communication into a new environment. And sometimes that doesn't work too well. So you've kind of, as you build your team, you've got to build a communication model with it. And it's got to be something that works for everybody.
Okay.
You know, I often say to people, for example, please don't email me. Please email me. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I do better if you have a conversation with me than if you email me. Some people live on email.
Mm.
You know, pick your communication style for your company that works best for all the parties, not just the leader.
Okay, so again, two topics which we're going to have a whole show on, communication and transparency. On transparency, I'll say I have a small business, 5 employees. Transparency is not going to go so deep and high that I'm going to tell them what salary I draw from my own business. As an example, well, they might want to know. You know, they're drawing X and you're drawing much more Y. That's not the kind of transparency I guess we're necessarily talking about. You'll get to a point where it needs to be that open and visible and transparent. Communication, as you say, email, meetings, you know, practical things, having proper stand-up meetings maybe, having one-on-ones. That's where communication happens. Meetings where we coordinate the different departments. And if you're a really small business, you don't need formal fancy meetings. So communication also goes deep and far, doesn't it? Not just emails, but emails. Jill, Taryn?
The importance of communication is many of the leaders we work with think it's about talking. And that's actually not what communication is about at all. If you want to communicate effectively in business, then it's about listening. So it's about creating enough space to listen to the said and the unsaid. So what are people telling you and what are they not telling you? That's even more important. So if you want to test how healthy a culture is, see how quickly bad news flows upwards. And so it really is the sense of what is people telling me and what are they not telling me? And for you to know that, you have to be paying attention. And that is actually what communication is about. It's not about I sent an email, I told them the message, I did this. There's a great statement that says the meaning of your communication lies in the response you get. So for that to make sense, a leader needs to stop after they've given a message and see what happens. Does everybody nod their heads and say, okay, and then go out and want to have a chat at the water cooler? Then that's information. Or do they debate it back with you? Or do they ask you questions? Or what is the response to you? That is more important in communication than anything else. And that's the heart of trust, transparency. So when you bring up the transparency around how much am I earning versus you earning, I would always wonder, why are they asking you that question?
Yeah, what's the
if they're asking you that question, they've got to have a concern about something. So you've got to go behind. What's the noise?
So communication speaks to trust, point number three.
Very important.
I think there's an important thing, and Taryn shared this with me many years ago. The principle of feedback is a gift. And
to whom?
To both. You as the person who's receiving the feedback. And I think, you know, often communication is also that feedback loop.
Yep, it is.
And, you know, knowing why they're asking what you earn. Yeah. Well, they're feeling undervalued. They're not feeling, you know, that you perceive them as valuable to the organization. You know, so those types of things, you know, you're getting the feedback, and then the question is, well, what do you do with it? You know, it's a gift. You can decide to unwrap it and make full use of it, or you can just put it on the shelf and leave it for another year.
Okay, I mean, there's even more than that, but we've got to move on. Louis, did you want to say something about communication?
Well, just confirm the meaning in your communication is the response you get. I think that's superb. I just want to mention, Arjen, communication, engagement, and then body language are so closely related. People sense what you're on. This is what both of you are saying, really, as well.
Okay, we're at number four. What's number five?
Okay, well, for me, the whole question of engaged people and engagement in your business is a key element.
But Louis just kind of...
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, it's about picking the right team. Mm. Okay, because if you if you've got an engagement,
is that one of the points? One of the 10 points, would you say?
Yeah, I'm saying you know if you want to if you want a high level of engagement, you want to make sure you've picked the right team. If the team isn't cohesive, if there isn't a connection that works for everybody in the team, and it's not just your team, it's our team. Mm. So you know if you've got a non-team player happening there, you know. If you're not the team player, perhaps you need to ask yourself the question, you know, so how do I get a better team response? Yeah. You know, I mean, there's often, and there have been leaders out there, and there's many famous examples of them where they turn around and say, you know what, I'm actually not the person to take the business forward in, at this next step. It's time for me to step out. That's because they're judging and saying, well, this team now doesn't need me. I'm now in a different space relative to this team. Mm. And knowing, you know, so it's not just about who you pick, it's about do they pick you? And I guess that goes to the whole thing of do they stay with you?
Especially in difficult times. Yep. Taryn?
There's a couple of points in there that you could list and you can extrapolate your points out. And I think one of the most important points is I have a very simple definition for leadership. It's turnaround is anyone following because they want to. And it's as simple as that. So what inspires them to follow you, to be with you? And have you got the team of people that buys into you, as you were putting it, that vulnerability as well as the passion for what you do? And can they walk the road with you, good and bad times? Or are you creating a space where everybody's blaming each other? And so, you know, that sense of connection, I think, is most important in business.
That part of picking the right team for the level of engagement, I've kind of put that as a point.
Yeah, I don't know if you would one put connection separate or part of it. It's we can make 100 books with lots of lists in there. But yes. You know, connection is: do people feel a sense of bond, a sense of connection, a sense of loyalty, a sense of unity with each other? And it is the teamwork principle, even beyond you being there, because so often leaders end up being parents. So they all play nice when the leader's in the meeting, or they all play nice when the leader tells them to. But do they have a sense of community and connection and bond beyond you? Yeah. That's really important, because one of the principles of leadership is make sure you're not needed. Mm. If you want to effectively lead, you have to work yourself out of a job.
But we're not talking about living in each other's pockets.
No.
You know, you look at partnerships in successful businesses. Uh-uh. They had tough times, but somehow they didn't live in each other's pockets.
No.
We're looking at 10 ways to keep your head together, and we are looking at purpose, your own part, trust, communication, engagement, transparency, picking the right team for level of engagement, connection. Also, very personal. You know, for me to keep my head together, I must make sure I have a passion for what I do, and we've spoken about that. That's the sense of purpose. I also thought of making that quiet time every day.
Yeah.
If you just get going from the word go, from the moment you wake up, you check tweets, you take messages, you never make space to
be
quiet.
Selfish.
Be selfish. Okay, that's maybe that's the one next point that we can put here, Richard.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to this whole concept of your leadership style, and I think it's more pertinent than perhaps what we often think. I've often heard examples, and I've had examples where people say to me, you know what, when X or Y or Z person sends me an email at 3 a.m., I know, or I get anxious because I know they're having an issue about something at 3 a.m. Now, perhaps it's just me, but I'm kind of going, well, if Richard works well at 3 a.m., that's fine. I work fine at 8 a.m., and that's when you'll get your response. Or maybe it's at 6 p.m. But it'll happen when I'm ready to respond to your email. Just because you sent an email doesn't mean I have an obligation to respond in the same time frames. And I think it's about that leadership style and getting comfortable with your team so that they know where you have energy and where you get your energy from and at what time and whatever makes you work. I mean, I've had at times in my life where I have worked those crazy hours. I don't expect my staff to be and my team to be working.
But
at the
same implication,
place.
You put the pressure on them to do that.
Well, people feel that pressure, and I guess what I'm saying is, as a leader, so to keep your head above water, is know that you're going to put that pressure into the system if you're doing something.
Correct.
Make a conscious engagement to say to people, look, This is my personal choice. This is what I'm doing right now because of where I'm at. This does not mean it's your problem. And I understand. If you talk about it, and that's what I'm saying.
It goes back to communication.
Yeah, communication and leadership style. So I have an open, transparent leadership conversation with people to say, listen, right now, and I've had it where I've had other things happening in my life. And that's when I need to do something because that's just the time that it's going to play. Just because I'm having a crisis somewhere else doesn't make that my staff's problem.
But then you have to communicate that because it will become their problem if you don't.
No, explain why. I mean, that good old explain why.
Okay. All right, guys, we've got a few minutes left. Two or three more points of the top 10 that we would put on that list.
The one that I would make essential is create choice. Always create choice. You cannot have accountability without choice. One of the things most leaders complain to me about the most is that people do not take accountability, but they cannot take accountability for your choices. So that sounds a bit strange when we've been talking about purpose and all these sorts of things, but a leader's job is to explain why we're doing things and what we're doing and create plenty of choice of how. So people can think for themselves of how to get things done. Too often leaders are walking around thinking why, deciding what, and just telling people how to do things. And then you've got a bunch of robots, and you'll walk around eventually saying, am I the only one who thinks around here? And the reality is you are, because you're creating an environment where you are the only one thinking. So if you can explain clearly what the vision is and what it is we need to achieve by when, then empower people to figure out how to work their hours, how to come up with the ideas, how to do it, how they want to structure things, et cetera, et cetera. Without choice, you can never hold people accountable to. And this makes really performance management very hard.
It's a very good point that I have here an empowered team, but that's what you're saying, create choice. You can't say, hey, guys, be accountable, but they only do what I tell them to do.
Arden, the point, though, is that you can't be really accountable without being given a choice.
Exactly.
You seem accountable, but you're not really. Your heart's not into it. Mm. This is a point.
It's very important. Yeah. It's probably the thing we focus on the most with leaders is, how do you create an environment that has enough choice? And that brings about empowerment, that brings about trust, that brings about accountability. Okay.
I want to summarize, so very quickly, in 1 minute, what else would you put on the list? And not too much explanation. Then I want to recap. Richard?
So the only other two things I would put on is principles of collaboration as a leader, teaching and living collaboration as a mindset, and also the principle of action, because I think often, you know, that saying, what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you're saying. We talk. You know, just do a few things, and we'll be in a much better position.
All right, so your example by way of action, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Final word, Tara.
For me, the last one is learn to like people. If you don't like people, don't lead, and get out of the way. Because fundamentally, when people say to me, my job would be great if it wasn't for the people, you're in the wrong job.
Okay.
Leadership is about people.
Thank you, Taryn Sido.
Pleasure.
Richard Angus, Louis Groenewald. Let me summarize very quickly. We're saying the 10 things, and this is over and above knowing your product and a lot of other things, 10 ways to keep your head together whilst managing. Number one, brief overview of – no, that's wrong. That's my questions. Have a purpose. Okay, have a purpose. Sense of purpose. Own your part, good and bad. Trust, high trust levels, vulnerability trust, professional trust. Trust yourself, trust your gut, all those things. Communication, engagement, transparency, we've got that in there. Lots of elements around that. Make sure your communication is email, not just email. One-on-ones, meetings. Picking the right team for a level of engagement. So if you pick the wrong people, the engagement will be low, but that speaks to trust again. It speaks to communication. Connection, also level of engagement, connection. Deep connection, maybe on a personal level and a professional level, but the personal level doesn't mean you live in each other's pockets. That's dangerous for any business. Be selfish. Tune into your leadership style, your purpose, your values. Make that quiet moment every day. If it means you have to wake up earlier, if you're an evening person, stay up a little bit later. Create choice in order to create accountability and an empowered team. Collaboration. Teach and live it. Actions speak louder than words. Make sure your actions are in tune and learn to like people. Good comments there. Thank you, everyone. Great to have you in the studio. And it'll make a great podcast. Next up, we have our Leadership Masterclass, talking about leadership across border, across Africa. And we're going to talk about Enactus in the second half of the show. We also have Dan Rockwell, leadership freak, on the line halfway through the show. A packed show, a lot of things to discuss. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon. It's our business to grow your business.
Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Aloha and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results. CliffCentral.com.